MGTOW men, welcome back. So, Jim Nance. Maybe some of you know who Jim Nance is, maybe some of you don't. Really not the point today, but it might help some of the background if you know who Jim Nance is. So, today's story is going to be looking at Jim Nance and the fallout of his marriage. So, obviously, I don't always look at these types of situations, these types of stories, but one of the things that I think is important to do occasionally is look at real-life examples of some of these principles within MGTOW, like Breifault's Law, hypergamy, and female nature, although while I do try to have the majority of my time looking towards the future, and I want to tie in some personal interests here as well. So to do that, in lieu of March Madness, I wanted to talk about longtime broadcaster Jim Nance, his marriage timeline, and some of the lessons that I did not know existed in that timeline. So I happened to be watching a March Madness game yesterday. I think it was a couple days ago, Creighton versus Kansas State. And Jim Nance was announcing. So I have no idea why I did this, but I apparently punched his name into Google. I think that I was looking up where he was from. So what was brought to my attention was a number of articles discussing the messy fallout from his marriage and his divorce. And for those of you who don't know, Nance is the Hall of Fame of sports broadcasting, essentially, right now. Well, that's a subjective statement, but essentially he's up there with Al Michaels, Vince Scully, Brent Musburger. The list goes on, and I believe right now he's 58. Although at the age of 50, in 2009, Nance ran into alimony and child support nightmare known as divorce. So in 2009, he and his wife, Lori, got a divorce after about, I think it was around 26 years of marriage. So these two were married since age 24. Jim's career was nothing at this point. He hadn't accrued much of anything. And sure, anyone that would be marrying someone in the sports broadcasting industry initially would not be doing it for the projection that, or projecting that they would make a lot of money, because the projected earnings in that field are far from stellar. So things go along in the marriage, and Jim continually improves all the way to where he is now. He's earning nearly $7 million a year as a CBS sports broadcaster. He announces the Masters, the NCAA men's basketball tournament each March and April. But as his career went up in value, Lori's value of Nance plummeted, which is not what men at the beginning of marriages and in the coinciding early stages of a career often think. And I believe that the common thought is, okay, my career is uncertain right now, but my marriage is doing well. It's early on. We still have the heat going from the early goings of our relationship. You know, but if I can get my career stabilized, then phew, I'm good. I am in. That's where I will keep her around. But she too got sick of it. And now Nance pays $916,000 in alimony and child support every year. He had to give up his two ritzy Westport, Connecticut homes, a ski house in Utah, and pay for her wife's 70,000 country club membership. It's really quite nauseating to think about that, especially that last one. That just gets you. And the alimony lasts until his death or she remarries, obviously, while the child support has now been completed. And there are two sides of the story. I'm really not going to offer any analysis of the divorce per se, as we've been there and done that. And according to an article by Fox, Lori spent nearly $1 million at a jewelry store in Connecticut. An article from Deadspin.com lays this denouement of the relationship out there. Nance cried on the stand as he testified about how his wife used to follow him around the country to various sporting events, but gradually lost interest in his career. She could not even be bothered to go to New York City to watch him collect a Man of the Year award or let him hang the oil painting of himself that he received with the award in their house. He had put it in storage, and he was even offered the hosting slot of the CBS Early Show, but turned it down because she was against it. He admitted to taking a younger lover, but that it didn't matter much because his marriage was already dead, quote unquote. Apparently, the one thing he and his wife did have in common was his money, which he spent a lot of. So, you know, from another webpage, whether or not this thesis is credible, I don't know, but Jim Nance acknowledged that he was dating a 29-year-old woman before the divorce was final, eventually married her. However, the judge concluded the marriage deteriorated years earlier and said, this remote event in no way contributed to the breakdown of the marriage. After the divorce of his first wife, he was married to his current wife, Courtney Richards, in a ceremony at Pebble Beach Golf Links in Pebble Beach, Cali in 2012. They now have two kids. He's had two kids after turning, I think, 54 and 56. So am I endorsing that Nance went around and got married again, setting up a potential other situation of alimony. No, I'm not tooting his horn in any way, but all I know is that this situation lines up a couple huge red flags and a couple things that I think go through a lot of men's mind, especially earlier in the career when they link getting a career to getting married. So whatever, I just hope that he doesn't set him up. So please do not set yourself up for another set of alimony, man. Enjoy your career. Okay, as I think that the woman that he married is 21 years his younger, and they started a date before the divorce was finalized. So this story, far from groundbreaking, far from momentous, but reflecting on myself, the fact that I had been growing up and I wanted to be a sports broadcaster, that was my dream. I looked up to guys like Nance, Gus Johnson, Mike Breen. I was leery of marriage even then during my middle school and high school years, but I thought that people like this, as I watched them and listened to them, they were invincible. They know Hall of Famers in many sports have an insane number of accolades, and if I were to get married, there's no way my spouse would get bored with that life, would get complacent, and would lead me down a road where I had to dish out $1 million a year. Now this man is tied down to his job indefinitely. Sure, he could probably work things out still, but before this downturn, this was on ice. He could probably retire at 40 without any of this. So, or younger, honestly. And the three things I want to look at here before I finish this up. So there is no, as long as I get that couch, I'd be complete. I'd have everything. So that line, I always mention Fight Club, but that line's from Edward Norton. He speaks about his house. He speaks about looking through those IKEA catalogs. If I get that couch, I'll be everything. I'll be set. I will not have to pivot. Things will be secure. So he speaks about the finality of the line of accomplishments in his life leading to security. So as long as you get that couch, you'd be safe. So many men today view their careers, their cars, their homes as such. It's kind of a protective thing, but actually it's a thing that will threaten you. So as long as I check those boxes off, I'll even be invincible to kryptonite. This is simply not true. So a woman defined by her dopamine will dart to her nearest source of it. So your provision will not matter at that point, no matter what. Okay, he had to have this to complete himself apparently, and he has to get married again. And a man can do as a man wants, but no matter what that man does, things are still never going to be infallible and completely secure in any marriage. And the red flag, the thing that got me really agitated, and obviously the title of this video, a woman that thinks you're a narcissist for hanging a picture of yourself up in your own abode that you paid for and that now you're paying for her to live in. So the man with his most prized possessions and storage is a defeated man in so many other ways. He can't even hang a picture of an accomplishment that helped him earn the house for her for a lifetime. So I've seen this happen in guys' office or with other banal pictures of themselves with well-known people and family in their house. You would think that would fit. This is the one place, maybe my office, you know, that you can put things like that. But nope, that's got to go in public storage. You got to put that in the storage unit, extra space storage, extra value storage, whatever's out there. You got to put it there. You cannot have it here. That's a scary thing. Huge red flag. And the third thing, indifferent wives, indifferent men, divorce. Okay, Nance wasn't stocking shelves. Nance was announcing, regardless if you care about sports, some of the most historic moments in sports history. His voice is going to be connected with it. Some people are infatuated with people's voices. For some, voice is a huge factor in attraction. So her husband is a part of history. His voice is telecasted everywhere. They're hearing him. He has power. Hypergamously, you know, this would fit. That would be taken care of. The status would be taken care of. So the excitement faded still, though. And while he was traveling around the country, going to this, that, and the other city, she still was not interested and would not travel around even to New York City as he accepted a Man of the Year award. Okay, she'd rather stay back and shop at a jewelry store. So both sides of the story here. Obviously, there's huge issues. But the excitement faded, and to think that you'll always be able to entertain, that is truly a lie and a misnomer. Misnomer. Okay, the excitement from announcing a buzzer-beater three-pointer with Villanova in the national title game. He comes home, looks to discuss it with somebody, and she's online shopping for jewelry. It's a sickening thought to have a marriage decline like that, but the handwriting was likely on the wall before the marriage even occurred 26 years later, or earlier, excuse me. So just another story from the sports world, one off the top of my head that I had to get out there, especially in this March Madness time. Thanks for listening today. And as always, I got another testimony from Terrence Pop the other day. Thank you, Terrence. If you're listening to this, I appreciate that. And if you want to share yours with me, you can email me at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter at sunrisehoodie regarding how you came to MGTOW and what it has done to benefit your life, because that's what it's about. Hoodies out, men. Hoodies out.